Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Okay, good morning, church. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord, right? Now, the topic given to me is Jesus Shines, preaching from Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. So shine means the light of the world, His light shines. Shine in what? In darkness, right? You see, in the Bible, they always associate darkness in a negative connotation, right? So I just simplify this for you to bring you onto the context. So what does darkness mean to you on the below aspects of your life? You just give some thought to it. Later I will give you the QR and you need to just spontaneously put in your answer there. It might be happening to you now. It might not be happening to you now. It doesn't matter. Like, for example, when you talk about financial or career, right? What is darkness? Being unemployed, right? Talk about physical and health, having cancer, or couldn't hear, stuff like that, right? So maybe you just go through these six aspects of your life. What does darkness mean to you? Okay? Once you have the answer, then maybe you can scan the QR code and put in your one or two words there. Is that okay? Can we start now? What does darkness mean to you in these six aspects of your life? Okay, this Slido, right, is called word cloud. The larger the word means, the more the people chose the answer. So as you can see, spiritual hopelessness, uncertainty, loneliness, and depressions. So can every team help me to take a screenshot of this result? Then I will come back to it. You later on. Now, what were the situation in Israel for the Jews when Jesus was born? Right? Maybe we move to the next slide. Sorry. Yeah. Let's go back. During that time, in terms of political front, the tension was very high because there was a Jewish sect called Zealot was formed to oppose the rule of the Romans. In terms of religious activities and belief, there were many factions. As you know, you have Pharisee, Sadducee, and Essene sects, right? In terms of economy, they were experiencing economic hardship. They were heavily being taxed, and also, what's more, you face your own people, right? Dishonest tax collector, collect more than they're supposed to collect. In terms of social, there were big social divide among the religious elite, poor people, commoners. You have shepherd, very poor, right? That's really like. So in all this front, right, the situation in Israel at that time was very, very dark. It's one of the darkest period during that time. Yeah, I just want to put you in context. Now, when you have hardship, when you have oppression, not only by the Romans, but by the religious leader, then what do you look for? You look for deliverance. Or you look for a deliverer who can deliver you out of the situations. Right? It is in this backdrop that Christ was born, right? The reason why I asked you to do the question just now is, I don't know what is the state of your situation during this moment, but I just want to try to gauge, because I prepared two sets of sermons. One is a short one, one is a longer one. So now I know which one I should preach, right? It's quite aligned with my longer one, okay? Now, so you see, I give you the context, This is a text that's given to me. Let us read this out together. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Verse 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, first of all, who were the wise men or magi? NIV used magi, right? Who were they? There were learned wise men, and there were most probably non-Jews, because I don't get a clear answer from the commentary, but I assume they were not Jews from the East, okay? Who were trained in studying star. And in this case, they understood the king of the Jews was born by recognizing this unique star, which represented Jesus. They saw the star, they followed the star, right? After a few months long journey from their homeland, because from the east to go to Jerusalem take a few months by walking. That time don't have car, you see. So the Magi were going to see with their own eyes what they hoped for. And they were overjoyed. They were so sure they found him based on the star location, right? But this star location was provided by the grace of God. Without the Lord revealing this to them, they will be forever waiting. Isn't it? Right? And this star led them to the light of the world, the Savior of the world. Right? In Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Rejoice, very happy, exceedingly with great joy. This word, right, actually, it tells us like jumping and leaping and bursting with tears of joy and praising God. They rejoice with exceedingly great joy. Superlatives over superlative, if I can tell you, right? So basically, it's very difficult to describe because they are going to see Jesus. Now, if you look at this carefully, right, in verse 10, they have not even seen Jesus. In anticipation of seeing Jesus, they rejoice exceedingly with great joy. Isn't it true for all of us here? So remember this word, in anticipation, because later on you'll give the answer to my questions, right? I still remember the first time I brought my daughter to visit Japan. The night before we left the country, they couldn't sleep. They were so excited, right? They were not even in Japan yet, but they couldn't sleep. They were rejoiced, saying, right, with exceeding great joy. But they had not seen Japan yet during that time, right? So, in anticipation. Now, in this context, right, you see the Magi, they were not Jews. They know the Savior of the world was born. Then you may ask me, hey, how about these non-Jews are so happy? How about the Jews? Did God reveal to them? Of course. In fact, in the Bible, there are many instances God did reveal to the Jews as well. In fact, before the Magi, right? In the book of Luke, chapter 2, as you can see from this passage, the Lord revealed Jesus to Simeon. Right? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Right? So, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which have prepared in sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. And in fact, after seeing the Lord, Simeon said, now you can dismiss your servant in peace. He has seen the Lord. He's ready to go. Right? Now, all of us here would have seen the Lord. isn't it? Because when you receive the Lord as your Lord and Savior, right, receive Jesus, He opened up your eyes to see Him, the one and only true God. And during that time, I assume, you should exhibit exceedingly great joy, right, when you come to know the Lord. Of course, I heard somebody say, it's normal to me. Understand? Maybe you have not really, really encountered the Lord in a very experiential way, but I presume most of us, when you receive the Lord, you will experience the kind of joy that the world cannot give you. Right? We would all have received this kind of experience. We have seen the Lord. So that's why I say, if I were to preach a shorter sermon, my sermon will end here, and we can go for lunch already. Because these are all head knowledge, right? I can tell you that, hey, the present darkness that you are suffering is nothing compared to the future glory that's going to be revealed in us. You have already got eternal life. What else you need? Be strong and live on joyfully as long as you are on this earth. Simple. That's it, basically. So you have the Lord already. His Spirit is living in you. What else you need? But as I go deeper, right, that's why I say, I come up with these four questions. And I myself go through these four questions, right? Now the first question is, Jesus has come and shined His light on you. Was it a one-time exuberant joy when you came to know Him? That's question number one. Okay? Number two, are you right now still experiencing the same level of joy when you were a young Christian? Some might say yes. Some might say no. Some might say gradually declining. Right? So, it's natural, right? So for me, personally, when I came to know the Lord, really, I still remember, the kind of joy, right, is really out of the world, man. Right? But after a while, then I find out my joyful level, right, is declining. But, I just want to tell you, actually, you can experience it once again. That is the purpose of this sermon. Huh? So for question one and two, yes, you might have one time, rejoice exceedingly with great joy. But over time, right, because of the worries of the world, because of the priorities that you have, because of relationship problem, you do not experience the same level of joy. Right? And you might be facing some challenges now. You might be facing some darkness that I shared just now. Right? So my job is to help you to see this truth, and how can you go back to this level of not exuberant joy, but sustained joy. Joy until you see the Lord, right? So question number three is on, can you have joy without peace? Now, this is the meat of the sermon, okay? Let's hear what the Lord has got to say, right? You see, in the book of John, chapter 14 to 16, it is in a sandwich structure. Okay, I will try to answer this question number three. Can you have joy without peace? From these three chapters that Jesus shared. Now, the first one is, verse one, it begins with, what did Jesus say? Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And chapter 16, verse 33, the last word of chapter 16, right? Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So is Jesus start with, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Then you end with, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Then in the middle of chapter 14, he said, the Holy Spirit will remind you everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. But this is very important, because this happened a night before Jesus was betrayed. If you have less than 24 hours to talk important things to the people that you love, this is a very key message that actually Jesus is trying to tell the disciple. Jesus is trying to tell them, hey, try to manage their expectation. You follow me, but remember, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. So trouble is given. It's a given thing. And then he say, but don't worry, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And this peace given by Jesus is not anything that the world can give. It hinges on what he has said and done. Now the solution is, of course, again, this is theory. Believe in Jesus, what he has said and done. Then you will have peace. Now, there are three stages that you need to go through before you can have this kind of sustained joy. Yeah? The first stage is acknowledge. You need to acknowledge that in this fallen world, you will always have trouble. Acknowledge. Right? If you are in denial, that would do you no good. It might do more harm than good, actually. So in this world, you will have trouble. Acknowledge focuses on the mind. So once you realize it, it gives you clarity. Now the second stage is acceptance. Accept. You can acknowledge, but would you accept? Sometimes things happen to good people, right? We always ask, why does bad thing happen to good people? Like me. Isn't it? If I could have done a better job to raise up my kids wouldn't behave like this. Okay? I'm speaking out from my experience. I'm just saying that to move from acknowledgement to acceptance, it is a long process. You need to go through the motions, right? Let me give you another example. My wife and I, we have been married for quite some time already, right? 21 years. So there's something that I acknowledge that who she is, but there's something you want me to accept it wholeheartedly, I need to work on it. She's an adorable person, right? Similarly, she might say the same thing. But one day, since now I'm standing in front of Kamfat, right? Kamfat one day told us, you know, maybe he has forgotten. He say, hey, why you pray like that? You should say, Lord, don't change her. Change me. Change me. Actually, that's very profound, you know, because you cannot change another person. You cannot change another person, the circumstance and the situation in the world, right? So why don't we come into realization to accept the situation, make peace with the situation, make peace with God, and make peace with the other person. If you cannot go through this process, I tell you, you will not have joy. The joy that the Bible talk about, the deep-seated joy that the Bible talk about. And to tell the truth, actually, you can check with my wife, Carol. I once told her, right, I lost the joy, you know, to go home. Because the situation is so bad, I'd rather work OT in the office than go back home. So how can you have joy without peace at home? Just an example. Logical, isn't it? But this is not what I say. You see what Jesus say, right? As I say, this is a sandwich structure. Jesus tell the disciple, hey, you have trouble, but I'm with you, take heart, right? But the meat is in John chapter 15. Please spend some time to go through these three chapters. John chapter 15, the famous verse, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man, right, remains in me and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a famous, but you need to continue to read. Basically, what Jesus wanted to tell the disciple is, hey, in this world you have trouble, but don't worry. If you maintain a personal, obedient relationship with me, you will still experience my joy for you in this dark world. Not your joy, it's my joy. So Jesus say, in verse 11, now, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, we can have peace, but to move on to the next stage, once you make peace with the situation, with God, and with the person that you love or the person that you hate, true, right? Also need to make peace, right? Then you need to move on and you tell the Lord, it's very tough. It's very tough to forgive this person who backstabbed me in the office, caused me so much of pain in the process, blah, 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 blah. So once you make peace, but you also need to move on, right, and get the assurance from the Lord. Now, this assurance is dealing with the heart. Just like I talk about, when you talk about acknowledgement, is the mind give you clarity. Don't live in denial. When you talk about acceptance, it's talking about touching your soul. You need to have peace within your soul. Then you need to move on, right? You need to have an assurance. But not only need, but you need to feel the assurance. Feel the assurance poured out by our Lord through His Holy Spirit. So in this case, Jesus says, I will not leave you as often. I will come to you. How does He come to us? Not physically, but through the Holy Spirit. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in His love. So personal, lifelong, obedient relationship with the Lord. Then what will happen? I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So it is possible that you can still experience the joy that comes from the Lord in the midst of darkness and suffering. Okay, but first thing first, you must make peace. You must have peace. Okay, so then go to question four. Is it possible to have sustained joy while you are suffering now in this fallen world? Sustain, not today you feel happy after I preach to you. Then 1 month later, you won't have such joy anymore. Is this possible? Yes. So Paul say in Romans, right, the famous book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, Paul say this, he say, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Right? Now, here, you might go through difficulty. If you cannot feel the assurance from the Lord, it will just wear you down. You might not be able to persevere to journey on. So that's why this verse, Paul says, because God's love has been poured out into our heart through the Holy Spirit. But then as I go deeper, I find something is still missing. Something is still missing. Something is still missing for me to continue my journey with the Lord as I, you know, live in this fallen world, right? It's just so tough sometimes. So, Lord, how can I continue with this journey? You see, for the Magi, right, after they saw the Lord, they were happy. I don't know what happened to them before they died. I don't know whether they stay joyful or not. For Simeon, he was old already. Maybe he was taken home by the Lord. Maybe. But for us, right, then I ask, something is still missing. And what is that? What is that thing missing? Remember that I told you in anticipation? In anticipation? So let's go to the next slide. I've tried to simplify this entire sermon into one slide. Just one slide. You see, Jesus died for us. And when we accepted Jesus, we had the initial joy that we experienced when we received him as Lord and Savior, right? And the Lord, love, right, poured out by the Spirit has been there all the time. Even before you received the Lord, it has been there. That's why I put there at the bottom of the ground, right, cut across all the timeline. Love poured out by the Spirit. And we need to be grounded in God's character. All this is head knowledge, huh? Character, his covenant. He who promised is faithful and his commandment. You need to be grounded on his character, his covenant, and his command, right? And you need to experience his love so that you can soldier on. And right now, there are many circumstances that is happening in your life. It can be a crisis. It can be also complacency. Sometimes when we are too complacent, we might not experience the joy, right? In fact, I experienced one of the exuberant joy that I had with the Lord. Like, it's during my worst period of my life, a few years ago, right? And it can be also confusion, right? In the circumstance, actually, I'm not so clear, Lord, what do you want me to do during this period of my life? So with all these dark clouds, right, on your head, but you need to be remembered that by the Spirit that he loves you, all the time, just that you cannot feel it. Sometimes you are too busy. And need to go back to God's character and what he has said and what he has promised you. I say again, he who promised is faithful. So one thing is missing, which is hope. Hope. And this hope is not 99.999% certainty hope. This is 100% certain that Jesus will come back again in his second coming. Hope. So only when we look forward to the future hope, this hope that the Lord will come back again in certainty, and you are being loved by him right now, you feel the assurance by the Holy Spirit, then you can continue to experience this sustain joy as long as you shall live on this earth. So how could Paul, being put into the prison, being persecuted, being flogged, and can still experience joy in the Lord? Of course, I wish all of us to be like Paul. Because you compare our context now, Malaysia, with the Israelite, during the time Jesus was born, we are in a much better position, right? True or not? Let's be honest, true. In fact, sometimes I pray that more things happen to the church so that we will be more faithful, more fervent. Because when the church normally grew, it's out of adversity. But I don't pray that kind of prayer for us. I let Pastor Alexa pray. So I just want to share with you this. And then I ask, as I drill deeper. You see, I'll share with you verse 3 to 5, right? Actually, we need to go back to verse 2. You know? Verse 2, it says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So when we read the Bible, we need to be very, very detailed and really spend time to read. you don't rush into it. I'd rather you read 5 chapters in 5 months than to read 5 chapters in 5 minutes. It is in this context, you see, Paul didn't say, by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the love of God, and we rejoice in the grace of God, and we rejoice with mercy because we deserve eternal punishment, but now we have access to Him. What did He say? He didn't say all this, right? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So once you receive Jesus, I need to go back to this slide, your hope starts already. So verse 2, you need to rejoice in hope. He didn't say in the hope. In hope of glory of God. Glory of God is 100% sure. Rejoice in hope of glory of God. Then you go to verse 3, only he say, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. You see, first thing first, when you have faith in the Lord, Jesus already said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. But when you follow me, it's not an easy life. It's a hard path that you need to follow. So same thing, you look at Paul, we rejoice in hope of glory of God. Start with hope. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, because suffering is a given thing. I don't ask you to invite for suffering, but suffering is given. Darkness is given, as long as you are in this world. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance, character, character, hope. And this hope will not disappoint us. This hope will not put us to shame, because this hope is hope in God. And at the same time, God will meet you where you are. He will embrace you with His love. He will not test you beyond what you can bear. This is not what I say. It's all in the Bible. So it starts with hope. We rejoice in hope. Then you know there's suffering. Then suffering produces endurance. Endurance means it's a long journey. Endure like running a marathon. Endurance gives you character. Character then say yes. Give you back hope. And after that, when you are hopeful at that moment, I can assure you the Lord will really pour out His Spirit and embrace you, no matter how hard the situation is. And then you go back to hope. Because, Lord, I know for sure you will come again. So it's a cycle of reinforcement. Right? So I just want to share this with you so that how do we actually have this sustained joy? Actually, sometimes like Paul say, right, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Might as well, Lord, take me home. Every day I go back home, see my wife, sour face, take me home. I'm just kidding. Now, Carol and I, we are really, really good. Better than when we were married during our first year, for sure. So I just want to share this. So how? Actually, 3 stages, right? What is the first stage? Acknowledge, deal with the mind. Second stage, acceptance, deal with your soul, you know. This one take a long time. The third one is assurance. You need to be able to feel what the Lord asks you to do. He will also give you the assurance, right? So, remember, hope in hope alone is delusion. Hope in God alone is victorious, because it is certain and give you the blessed assurance. Now, I like Mandarin words. Mandarin words differentiate hope with other words. For those of you who know Mandarin, right? Siwang, you know what is siwang? And panwang. Panwang. And siwang is different from panwang. Siwang means hope. I hope my wife will do this and that. That one is 95% hope. Okay, I keep using this example so that you understand how it works. It's like not sure one. I hope siwang. I hope tomorrow it won't rain. But 盼望 is 100% certainty, and you expect, you know, John Stott used this word, expectant hope. Expectant hope, that means that it's so sure that it will happen, but as you wait, you don't wait patiently, you don't wait miserably for the Lord to come again, but you wait with expectant hope joyfully. This is what we are talking about here. It's possible. PJEFC, I want you all to experience this. Because without this joy, right, the joy in the Lord, we always say, is your strength. You can continue on this earth and persevere and do His work. But you need to really, really understand what is expectant hope. It's active participation, active anticipation, and with confident assurance that the Lord will come again. And He will not test you beyond what you can bear. If you cannot bear already, He will take you home, I think. So to summarize, can I suggest that for the next 1 week, you spend some time to reflect your present circumstance and your emotional state and spiritual walk with the Lord. Whether you are experiencing this joy or not, the sustained joy I talk about, not necessarily the exuberant joy that you know you experienced it one time. If not, then ask the Lord for His grace to reveal to you. Like Kamfa say, right? Don't change her, change me. Reveal to you too. So Mary, make sure he practice what he preach. Okay, so then reveal to you the condition of your soul and restore the joy of His salvation to your heart as you hope in Him. You see, when King David sinned, in Psalm 51 you read, what did he say? Restore the joy of the salvation, you know. King David didn't ask for anything. He asked the Lord, don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of the salvation in me. Right? So you need to go through the three stages I talk about. Where are you now? On certain area of your life. Those six areas of your life. Once you accept it, then I can tell you, you will be able to move on. And you will start living a better life and a fruitful life. Right? Don't give up. Go through it and you will be blessed with a joyful spirit. I just want to close this with this quote. I just pray that may the light of Jesus shine on you as you hope in Him with great joy. And may His light shine through you as you lead others to Him until the day of His glorious return. Thank you.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.